from the Australian Turf Club.
Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing are set to bring you all the winter racing action. Crucial interviews with trainers and jockeys, tab markets, and an array of form analysts that are the best in the business. It's your reliable winter destination every morning. Racing HQ.
Brought to you by TAB.
Just gone 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning. We welcome you to the best Saturday start around town. Don't worry about the others. This is where you get it all. All the winners for the day's racing. Today, we're at Randwick for the Australian Turf Club. Nevesh Ramdani has told us they've left it a heavy 8, but it's very close to a 7. Penetrometer is 6.01 and the rail at 6 metres. We'll just monitor the weather over the next few hours because the radar tells us and shows us that there are showers off the coast. It's going to be a question of the fringe of Randwick off the coast there. Do they get any over the next few hours? At the moment, though, as I told you, it's a heavy 8, but very close. If those showers don't arrive, then it's probably a very good chance of getting to a 7. It's going to be a partly cloudy day, but it's just a monitor on those few showers. Newcastle, they're going to get some rain through the day. Also, Michael Buckley was telling us the tracks are good for the rail at 7.5 metres. Eagle Farm, it's a good 4 and a fine day in Brisbane. Flemington, a soft 7. They've had rain through the morning, 2.5 mil, but a soft 7. It's meant to clear through the afternoon. And, of course, as I say, we're in New South Wales. We've got an extra meeting at Quirindi. That track is in the good rating. We'll keep an eye on the scratchings over the next half an hour or so for Sydney and Brisbane. We'll go through all of Sydney for you in a tick. He's made his way, I think, for the last time this carnival for Sky Racing Tats Tiara Day in Brisbane, Ron Duffersey. Morning, Duff.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. And what a Tattersall's Tiara it is. It's a beauty. Stacked full of depth. Obviously, luck's going to play a big part in the result. Some in-form fillies and mares there, and it's a fantastic finish to the Group 1 show in Australia there here today, that's for sure.
And the weather, Ron, you would have opened those blinds and looked out and thought, gee, this is a true Brisbane winter morning.
Yeah, beautiful morning. The sun's shining. Just looking over Albion Park. There's not much track work going on at the moment. They've slept in. But anyway, it's going to be a very, very good day here, Andrew.
The Tiara Godolphin were there, three of key players. They're all key players. And then you get the Waller Group lining up in the race. I mean, it's a traditional race, isn't it? It's the last chance for that big Group 1 for the breeders.
Yeah, it is. And, well, what's Chris had, 18 Group 1s or something this season, and he's stacked full of good chances. And James, they both had such great years, Godolphin and the Waller teams, and been fitting if they could, you know, cap it off with another Group 1 to finish it off, finish the show off. But still, there's other good chances in the race. They're not the only two trainers there.
Yeah, for sure. Here in Sydney, Ron, we've got a heavy 8. Just depends on those showers. Good chance of getting back to a 7. And there'll be some trainers hopeful those showers don't arrive. We'll wait and see what happens with scratchings over the next 25 minutes. How's the overview of the winter dash meeting today?
Yeah, look, it's not a bad program. I think we're all anticipating earlier in the week, though, they were declaring there's going to be 20 mils or 10 to 15 mils on the day at Randwick, so I was always working on a very heavy track. So it looks like that's been put back till tomorrow, so that really could help this track. But still, obviously, we're working with wet form, and we've known that all week. So that's how we've adjusted, and hopefully that form works out okay.
Yeah, a little bit of cloud, obviously, over the top of Sydney right now, but there's also a bit of clear sky as well. So let's just run through update for everybody, the current scratching situation for the program before we get going with interviews. Race 1, number 4, Big Parade is out. It's running in Brisbane. Race 1, number 4. At the moment, races 2 and 3 are clear. Race 4, number 10, Top Striker, and 11, Noble Joey, 10 and 11. At the moment, race 5 is clear. Race 6 has certainly been hit by scratchings. 4, Free Hearted, 9, Bare Naked Lady, 10, Curata Princess, 12, Graceful Storm, 14, Gala Moshe, 15, No Interest, and 16, Dolly's Due came out yesterday. So 4, 9, 10, 12, 14, 15 and 16 out of race 6. Race 7, number 1, Curra, they've decided to keep down in Melbourne. It runs there. Race 8, number 11, Iso Rich has come out. And race 9, number 4, Mr. Gustavo, 10, Power Command and 16, Sedition. 4, 10 and 16. So at this stage, there's been no extras to the group that we went to bed. They're sitting at 15. We'll just keep an eye on those over the next half an hour or so. All right, let's get going with the interviews. Dean Murfin joins us from Bathurst. Morning to you, Dean.
Morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you, mate. In fact, I'll give it a little plug. We're looking forward to being at Bathurst in a couple of weeks. We're doing a drought week again for our Sky Sports radio audience coming up starting on Tuesday week. We're going to do Tamworth, we're going to Ningen, we're going to Dubbo and Bathurst on the way. So we're looking forward to that in a couple of weeks. How is the weather? Is it, I guess it's cold, but is it turning wet for you, Dean?
There is a bit of rain, Andrew, and this morning it says the temperature there is, it feels like minus 7.2. So, very heavy frost, ice over on the track, freezing.
Minus 7.2, Duff. I might have to do a rethink about doing the early morning there from Bathurst.
I think you better start up another direction there, Andrew. It's not your cup of tea.
No. Anyway, we look forward to being there in a couple of weeks. A couple of decent chances here, Duff, for Dean.
Yeah, Dean, a couple of nice geldings resuming here. They both trialled in the same heat there. I am Capitan. He has some nice form lines last prep.
Yeah, Ron. He's a beauty, actually. He comes up to these highway races and puts in every single time. He's a little bit of a Tom Melbourne in these races. He can run placings in them, but he just hasn't been able to crack one. But he finds, probably a weaker highway today than he has run in the past and stronger than he's been in and performed well. So, you know, I usually trial him twice before he has a first up run. He's only had the one this time. It was a little bit soft, but he's working pretty solid and he looks terrific, the horse, and he's ready to go.
He has got a lot of wet track experience. What's your thoughts on that?
I trialled him one day at Bathurst, and you'll, if you're looking at the form, it says that the track was a soft seven or something, and he won the trial and beat schedule, and it was a good one again. And the track was a bog, absolute. You know, it had chopped right up. It rained, you know, in the last couple of races, and he handled it absolutely beautiful, but that was just under trial conditions. And the day he won, he ran second. She knows that Roundnick was a soft seven that day, and that's probably, you know, probably one of his better Sydney runs. So I think he'll handle it pretty well.
Okay, he seems to map okay there from that draw as well.
Yeah, he should be able to get the run of the race. He's got good tactical speed, and you can place him wherever you want. He'll be in a nice forward position somewhere, and he's got an inform apprentice on him, so he should get a good run.
Mm. Is this other horse a bit of a forgotten horse, Electrified? He sort of resumes off two very, very nice wins there. So resumes off two wins. His trial was pretty good in the same heat.
Yeah, look, his trial was terrific in the same heat. I was watching a show on Sky the other day and they picked him out in the trial and they were watching the wrong horse. They were talking about him being in the pink colours, but he was actually in the orange colours. And I was smiling when I was watching that. Look, Greg Ryan come back and told me he's a really, really nice horse and he'll win a highway first up if he finds the right race. And, you know, Greg's a good judge and Matthew Carl. I gave him a few runs without blinkers and Matt, I was telling Matt he goes all right. Matt said, I think he's not much good. And we stuck some blinkers on him and then Matt said to me he'd never ridden a horse that had improved so much. You know, overnight, virtually. It was amazing of the horse. So he's got the blinkers on today. I've only put him on once this whole prep. You know, if he never does, he's stuck work or anything like that in him. And, so he'll have the monitors in today. He's probably the nicest horse in my barn, actually. But, you know, he's a young, progressive horse, and it's not easy to win these races at your first attempt.
No. What about today? Is there much between them?
I wouldn't think so. I'll probably be having $10 on Electrified, actually, if I have a little bet. And there's a bit of a tip around for the other one, but I really like the horse. I think he's a horse that's going to go places, and I'm really excited to see what he does today.
Beauty. Good luck. Well, good luck with them both.
Yeah, thanks,
Ron.
I appreciate it.
Good on you, Dean. And did you say it was minus 7.2?
Yeah. It says minus 4, feels like minus 7.2. So very, very cold. And we've
it
got
is
a week
very cold.
Actually, it's been like it the last few days. You have these little skips there. And so, you know, you wear tacky pants under your jeans and a few jackets and a beanie or two, and you'll be right.
He'll be right, Andrew.
I'm starting to think maybe we need to look around somewhere a bit different. No, we'll be there. We'll be brave, and as I say, we'll be there in a couple of weeks. Good on you, Dean. Good luck today.
Oh, Andrew. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, mate. Dean Murphin joining us there with the very latest. These tab highways, Ron, they offer up so much every week. And, you know, you talk about those two, but a horse like Irish Songs, who's been racing so well, and there's a couple of others that come here in okay sort of form as well.
Yeah, well, you've got Irish Songs, who probably looks the horse that it's ready to win the race. He's third up now, and his form's exposed. And obviously, Revving Up Red Nut's the same. He's third up now, and his form's exposed. And then you got the query of, you know, of Dean's, you know, two horses there he sounds pretty happy with, and you got Mark Quinn with a couple of first uppers as well. So it's not as easy as we first thought.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. He's gone. The market sort of thinks that I Am Capitan may be the best, but Electrified, just off what he's saying there, it was $13 overnight.
Yeah, very interesting, isn't it? You know, and I would have thought, you know, Matty would have some sort of, Matthew Carl would have some sort of association with Dean, so he's riding Electrified. I know he probably had to claim off I Am Capitan, but interesting. There's, his last two wins are really good, and Dean just put it down. The blinkers have improved him out of sight, and his trial was excellent.
All right, so that's the Tab Highway. We'll chat more about that race as we go along. I'm just keeping an eye on Eagle Farm Scratchings as well with the feature program there. In that first race, Raiden's come out this morning, number three, and November Man, as we've learnt the last couple of days, was always staying in Sydney and running. So it's come out officially now out of the first as well. And then in race five, Tail Event has come out, race five, number six. And in the last, Cradle Mountain scratched obviously yesterday, and Divine Dice has come out number 14. It would have been pace in that race, Ron. It'll be interesting just to see, is there much more pace in the Healy Stakes, given that Victorum and Brave Song will like it pretty quick for allowing them to finish off?
No, there's no shortage of speed there, Andrew. I don't think they'll miss Divine Dice. You've got a heap of go-forward horses there, and YPO and Quilista and Monsieur Gastar, Alassio Fresh. So there's four or five go-forward horses there.
Okay, so don't be too worried by that. All right, we've learnt this morning at Bathurst, it's minus 7.2. Matt Dale, I'm not too sure where he is this morning. Maybe Canberra or Maruya, one of those. Morning to you, Matt.
Oh, morning, Andrew.
Where are you, mate?
I just got in the car from Canberra and going home to have a shower and head to Sydney.
Okay, so what's the car telling you? Is it cold in Canberra or not?
I think it's as cold as Bathurst. It's about minus one, minus two here, but a couple of mornings ago we had a minus four, and for Canberra's standards, it's probably been a mild winter so far.
And how do you do track work when it's those temperatures?
Oh, look, on the real cold mornings, obviously you have all your gear, your gloves, etc., and a lot of people wear balaclavas, funny enough, these days, and under their helmets, and it's not too bad once you get going and keep moving. It's not too bad.
Well, you'll be hoping it's minus one in race three, minus one scratching for Belfast Bella here, Matt. It doesn't look a bad race for her if she gets in.
Yeah, that's right, Ronnie. Look, it's a shame to be at headquarters and be running a 10-horse field. I know the rail's out 6 metres, but it does always sort of leave me wondering why they can't work out how to have more runners in those sort of races. But if she gets a run, I agree she's well placed off an awkward gate. Right down in the weights on a wet track, she's sort of her last two at Saturday grade have been very solid and sort of just a cut of the race. Well, certainly the speed of the race hasn't quite suited her in regards to winning, but I think she maps quite good from an awkward gate today. If she gets a run, she'll be right there.
Yeah. Just refresh me, what do you think about her wet track ability?
Yeah, she won on a soft track for us early on when I first got her over here, and she won really well. So I think on the soft, I actually really like her. On the heavy, is a slight question mark. But they're very lightly framed filly that's come, you know, European filly that's sort of lightly framed and athletic, and generally they handle it.
Okay. Your other runners, Levy Bank in race six. I think she's going better than what her form suggests.
Oh, notation.
I'm sorry, a notation new to your stable.
Yeah, she was bought out of that Magic Millions sort of mare sale and sent down to me off the back of a winner Canterbury there. So I've only had her for a few weeks. Settled in really good. She's a mare that's got a great profile, as you can see. Quite question mark on the wet track, but when I talked with the owners yesterday, we decided that we'll run her, and because this time of year, if you wait a week, you're going to end up on a heavy track anyway. So it's a good time to find out how she goes through it, if she handles it, if it was in good stead for the rest of the preparation. And if she doesn't, well, we know how we've got to readdress. But haven't missed a beat in the few weeks she's been here. She's a little bit wintry in the coat. She sort of arrived that way, but she's been eating well, working well, and she's nice and happy.
Okay. She's probably untapped, only having had the 6 starts.
I think she's got a really good profile, and when I went back and watched her replays in Melbourne, some of those races, you know, I thought she'd got scope for improvement, and yeah, I think she profiles quite well for today if she handles the track. So Robbie Dolan to ride, she gets good at the weights against her own sex, and if she gets through the heavy track, I think she'll be right in the finish.
Okay. And say Stella in the last, she... I've seen Randwick on the wet days. By the last race, the outside barrier's an advantage. They're stretched right across the track.
Look, when she drew the outside, I said on a wet track, I'd much rather that than the inside gate for her too. She sat wide previously at Randwick, just sitting out doing her own thing, and she's won doing that. So she's got a good track and distance record. She's won on a soft 6 there. Her only attempt at a heavy was at Kembla at a second race start, and that... It's probably, albeit she could only beat in her head. She didn't handle it really well, but she's a much more seasoned horse now. These 1,000-metre races only pop up. So we're certainly happy to be going there. And, you know, big open field with plenty of pressure, but the wide gate's certainly no concern.
Beauty. Oh, well,
and I've got some good, I've got some good news for you, Matt. Belfast Bella has got a run. Chunero has just come out. Race 3, number 10.
Beautiful. I just was going to say, as I was talking, I had a missed call from Riser, which is usually a good sign when you've got an emergency. So that's perfect. So yeah, I'll sort of dive into the form a little bit more now with Belfast Bella, but that's really good news.
You get a couple of kilo there for Robbie Dolan at this time of the year. The claims are important, are they?
Well, look, he's riding so well too, Robbie Dolan. So he's riding as good as anyone in Sydney at the moment, and you're getting 2 kilos. So it really is a benefit for on a wet track, a mare like that. She's right down in the weight. So I think she's really placed.
All right, well, let you be. Get on the riser, mate, but Belfast Bella gets a run. Good luck with the 3 of them.
Excellent. Thanks, guys.
Thanks very much, mate. It was $6.50 before the news this morning, Ron, that Chunero's come out. So it was always pretty tight when the favourite's at $5.
Look, it's, well, he'd be happy he got the run there. So she'll run well. She'll run very well.
Alluvian, race 6, number 5, has just come out as well. This 6th race, Ron, I think that brings us to... just 8 runners now at the Mowat and Shandon celebration with the scratching now the new one of the 5. So 4-5, 9-10, 12-14, and then 15 and 16, the emergencies are scratched. That's really reshaped that race, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's changed complexion altogether, you know. So maybe a couple of these back markers get more of a chance now with a smaller field. I don't know. It just does need re-looking at that race because, you know, when you first do the form and it's a full field, you're trying to assess speed and different things, and now it's a little bit different.
Understand. The Winter Dash is the feature race today over the 1200, and interesting mix-up here with Jungle Edge doing the back-up and back in Sydney, and you get Passage of Time, a late entry, and then I guess you look at El Manzora and Caesar, the new horse into the Hawks Racing Stable.
Yeah, it's a good race, isn't it? It's a good race because... you have got those classy horses in form up the top there, and then you've got these young, these lightly weighted horses who can come with a big finish. So a terrific race on the program, and I read last night that James was coming back and asking the questions and whether we'll get off the boys, whether he thinks it's fit enough, Almanzora, to run. I hope it is, because I think it'll be winning.
Yeah, he's been in the UK, Duff, and he just wanted, he got back yesterday morning, he just wanted to catch up with the team and make sure that everything was okay. We're going to talk to James over the next 20 minutes or so, but certainly no extra scratchings in that race. Mark Quinn is joining us now to talk about his hopes today. Morning to you, Mark.
Morning, Andrew.
We've been asking a couple of country trainers how cool it is. What's it like at Port Macquarie this morning?
They said it was cool. I'm in Randwick. I came down yesterday morning, but they said it was pretty cool this morning. Yeah.
Mark, you're going to run both of them, these horses today. They're both trialed well.
Yeah, that's correct, Ron. Yeah, they're both down here and they're both ready to go.
Yeah, Gumshoe, how's she spelled?
Yeah, look, he's not a big horse, Ron. He's only lightly framed horse, so he sort of pretty much looks the same when he comes back from when he goes, and it's just the style of the horse he is. But no, he's had a good preparation. We were sort of nearly ready to come down a fortnight ago. He just drew bad, and it was the right race for stuff 1100 a fortnight ago, but he drew bad, and then it became a heavy eight, and he only had the one little jump out, and since then he's had a couple of gallops and a nice trial on Sunday.
He does have some soft form, though.
Yeah. The races he's run on soft gallon, they just sort of haven't suited him at the time, but he's still run well. We brought him down off on a quick backup at the end of last preparation. In hindsight, it was probably a mistake from a bad barrier. But Blake gave us a good rap about the way he handled the soft seven that day. And today, he's well weighted after the claim and he's got a good gait. So I expect him to run really well.
He looks an improver, this other filly, Nashian.
Yeah, progressive young filly. Sort of always showed me something. She won as a Christmas two-year-old. And the following 12 months, she had two preps where we got to the trials both times. And she got a virus once and had to go out. Then she had an injury and had to go out. And it's probably played into her hands. She's had a good preparation to start this preparation. First up, she had no luck. Got squeezed out at the start. Then she had a few navigational issues the next time. Then we put the senior on, and she sort of turned it all around. And her last run, when Betty Looker rode her, she got chopped out at the 250 when she was going for a run. I thought she was going to be right in the finish. So we just decided to give her a week off, and we weren't sure where we were going to go. We just wanted to give her a little freshen up. We were originally thinking maybe the Grafton Carnival, but then she was working quite nicely when we came back, and she tried well, and I suggested this race to my owners a couple of weeks ago, because I said she's going to get in pretty light, and which she has, and unfortunately she just joined a sticky gate.
Yeah. She's off a shorter break than Gumshoe, but she seemed to trial just as well, if not better.
Yeah, look, she's quite forward, Ron. She only had the week off in the paddock after her last run, and she's had she was pretty rock hard before she went out. So the trial was more to just for me to have a look at her and give her a decent hit out. And look, she trialed really nicely. And look, they're both progressive horses, but she's probably just got a touch more fitness on her. But look, we're both sort of heading towards February next year with the championship heat in mind at Taree. So if she happens to land today, I'll sort of probably recommend to have a little break, because she's 1-4 now.
Yep.
We just want to get her there. We don't want to win too many, because she can't go.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, good luck today, Mark.
Thanks very much, Ron.
Good on you, Mark. Mark Quinn with a couple there. We've spoken to a couple of trainers there now. It is a good little race today, a little competitive Tab Highway, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're both leading to their long shots in the race. Little things they say,
Yep, understand. A couple of extras. Camdis has come out of the Winter Dash. Race 4, number 6 on Vet's Advice for John Thompson. Race 4, number 6. And then in the last, number 3, Tell Me, has just come out. Race 9, number 3, Tell Me, is an extra scratching as it stands right now. Big announcements through the week. I should have mentioned this with Matt Dale when we spoke with him, but the Canberra Racing Club have announced significant changes to their Black Opal period. Of course, they've got their big preview day, which is run in the middle of February, 21st of February, but they've made it a two-day carnival. March 8 is going to be Black Opal Day on the Sunday, And then Monday, March 9, is Canberra Cup Day. There's a big festival in the area over this these couple of days, and they want to jump into that as well to attract people to their thoroughbred racing. So something a bit different, Ron, in 2020 for Canberra. Black Opal Sunday, Canberra Cup Day, the next day on the Monday.
Well, that's very interesting. So wish them all the best. As you know, you don't try things, you don't know. And if there's a festival on at the time, and we might as well make a carnival of racing of it as well. And Sunday and Monday seem to work as well.
Yeah, exactly. And as I say, they'll have their normal preview day, which is Friday, February 21, with the Canberra Mile, and then it runs in to March 8 and 9. More detail about that, but it was announced by the Canberra Racing Club a couple of days ago. All right, Peter Snowden's going to join us shortly. James Cummings is also joining us. I'm not too sure where James is, whether it's Brisbane or Sydney. No extras to the ones that I've given you so far. I'll just have a look before we go to a break, just on Eagle Farm on that feature program, the Sky Racing Tattersall's Tiara, to see whether there's anything new into the system there. As we know up there, Duff, that weather just beautiful this morning, eh?
Oh, absolutely. It's not a breath of wind, and the sun's out, lovely calm day, and it should be a good crowd there at Tattersall's Day.
Yeah, let's hope so. The track are good for Penno this morning, 4.34, and the rail is at 4 metres. No extra key ones there at this stage for Eagle Farm. Over the top of Sydney, we've got a bit of blue sky. The sun popping through in different areas. There's showers off the coast. Let's hope they stay that way, because at the moment, Randwick is a heavy 8, very close to a soft 7. A break, and then Peter Snowden and others will join us on Racing HQ.
Ribchester, the European champion miler 2 years running. Four fabulous Group 1 wins, including the Group 1 Queen Anne at Royal Ascot in record time.
Ribchester and William Buick are the Queen Anne winners.
Ribchester, a son of successful shuttle stallion Ifraj. Record-breaking form at a mile and free of Danehill and Danzig blood. For more information, visit darley.com.au.
Mum, it's end of financial year time, which means qualifying businesses can take advantage of the instant asset write-off tax deductions on eligible purchases less than $30,000 per item.
At Bingley.
Like a new TV for your boardroom or appliances for your office kitchen. Talk to your accountant and then talk to us.
And?
It's the Bingley end of financial year sale with huge deals store-wide.
That's right.
Don't miss the end of financial year sale at Bingley.
Looking for a sensational opening night at TAB Queensland Winter Racing Carnival Harness Action? Look to Redcliffe Gold Cup Night Saturday night with Australia's rising stars in the Group 1 Redcliffe Garage 2-year-old final. The Boom 3-year-olds in the Redcliffe Oaks and Redcliffe Derby. And those seeking silverware in the Gold Cup and Trotters Cup. There's only one place to look for Redcliffe's biggest night of harness racing. Redcliffe Gold Cup Night Saturday night. Part of the 2019 TAB Queensland Winter Racing Carnival.
Dynamics Indications, Gay and Adrian proudly offer a quality yearling filly by Zoostar, the hottest young sire in Australia, champion first crop sire and now leading second crop sire. Our filly is from Moon to French, a stakes winner and Group 1 place to champion Mare Zenyatta. And our filly's had four siblings to race, all winners. Join our dynamic Gay and Adrian team in this fabulous filly at $12,885 per share. For info, visit dynamicsindications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Racing HQ is brought to you by TAB. Get a bonus bet up to $50 for second and third on selected races this weekend. Gamble responsibly.
It is Racing HQ, your best Saturday start right through winter here on Sky Sports Radio, Sky Racing 1 and Sky Thoroughbred Central. We're about 3 or 4 minutes away from going to interim with these scratchings for Randwick, but Canunga for Matt Smith has come out of the last. Race 9, number 14. So at the moment we're sitting on 21. There's another one. Jorda has come out of race 4. Race 4, number 8, Jorda. Makes it now four scratchings in today's winter dash. So Candice, Jorda, Top Striker and Noble Joey are all out 6, 8, 10 and 11. Just a couple of key ones here, Duff, just appearing in the last little while.
Yeah, I think we've survived pretty well, though. I think we would have been a lot worse off if we had, you know, rain on the day. And I think some trainers are saying, Okay, the ground's stabilised. We're working with a heavy eight, maybe soft seven, and let's have a throw at the stumps here. So I expected a lot more scratching, to put it that way.
All right, we're sitting on 21 at this stage. Just we're going to chat with Peter Snowden in a couple of minutes, but just on the Tats Tiara today up there, Duff, race 8 at 3:35. There's been so much discussion about Godolphin's trio and then the Waller pair and Sprite's back there again. What's your overview on the race?
My overview on the race is it's a terrific contest. As far as what I like in the race, I'm a Pahutakawa fan. I just think back in distance has posed no problem. She wasn't fully extended there the other day, so she's still got a peak performance in her. She deserves to win a big one. And with any clear running from the top of the straight, I think she's going to be awfully hard to beat. In saying that, she won me the other. I'm a Sprite fan, but I've just been watching her lately. But I think once that she laid a form down in the Stradbroke, that sets her up well for a race like this. She's running all the Group 1s, so I'm convinced she's got the right form, and I think she's the one that's over the odds, Sprite.
Yeah, $9.50 right now. Pahutakawa at $5. We had Blake Shin on the radio with us on Thursday, and he was very much an open book around his ride on Pahutakawa. You could hear it in his voice. He hesitated for a few seconds, and then he opened up and he said, "I was pretty well peeved off." He didn't use the word peeved. He used another word, but you could hear it that this today is there for redemption. He really wants to give it a good ride today.
Yeah. No, he's got the killer instinct about him, and he always has. You know, he knows he knows when he makes mistakes, and he's happy to admit them. And then, well, what can you say? You know, he's admitted he made an error of judgment, which is a split-second decision with jockeys. And we move on, and he'll learn from that, that little mistake, and he'll ride it well today. He'll ride it very well.
Okay, so that's the Tiara, but I'm fascinated by the Healy. We've lost Divine Dice, but you're telling us there's plenty of pace in the race. Which one then, Victorum or Brave Song?
I just feel Brave Song only because Victorum, I think they were desperate to get into 1400. They were trained to win the Stradbroke, and then they got away with the 1200 of the Hinkler last time when they opened up and he charged home. I'm just wondering whether he's still got a 1200 metre run in him. I think he's got as much ability as Brave Song, but he is absolutely airborne, Brave Song, and I think he's a little bit more adaptable, where I reckon he could ride him a little bit closer from that draw today, where Victorum, we know he has to be ridden cold now. So whether he just gives him a dig in the ribs to stay on Brave Song's back, or whether he says, no, I want to ride him very cold like I did last time and come with a sweeping run. So I think it's advantage Brave Song in the Healy.
At the moment, there's 10 cents between the two of them. 3:40 Victorum, 3:50 Brave Song. Well, I think we just want them going to the line, don't we? We want one of those good finishes.
They're both very heavily backed as well, because I think they went up 4:40 Victorum, and they went up 5:50 Brave Song. So they're the two go-forward horses, and I can understand why, because they've probably got the best form here.
Understand. Scratchings have just gone in from Glenn Munsey's just sent me a note too, Ron. In regard to that Canberra announcement, that Monday is a public holiday in the ACT. So so that'll really work well for them. Yeah, so Black Opal Day is Sunday, March 8, and then Canberra Cup Day, the Monday, March 9, a public holiday. So that will certainly enhance that crowd along with that festival as well. All right, let's check the scratchings. They've gone in from here for Randwick. A heavy 8 just though. Penetrometer 6.01 and the rail at 6 metres. Race 1, number 4, Big Parade, number 4. Race 2 is clear. The third, number 10, Chunero, number 10. Race 4, number 6, Candace. 8, Jorda. 10, Top Striker. And 11, Noble Joey. 6, 8, 10 and 11. Race 5 is clear. Race 6, number 4, Freehearted. 5, Alluvian. 9, Bare Naked Lady. 10, Curata Princess. 12, Graceful Storm. 14, Gala Moshe. 15, No Interest. And 16, Dolly's Due. Race 7, number 1, Curra. Race 8, number 11, Iso Rich. And then race 9, number 3, Tell Me. 4, Mr. Gustafo. 10, Power Command. 14, Kununga. and 16 Sedition. 3, 4, 10, 14 and 16. So 21 interims on a heavy eight, but let's hope those showers stay away that are off the coast at this stage, because if they do, there's a very good chance of getting to a soft seven. Peter Snowden joins us. Morning, Pete.
Morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you, mate. We've just been chatting around this race in Brisbane, the Healey. What a race it could be with Victorum, and well, give us your latest on Brave Song.
Yeah, no, he's in good order. Yeah, you're right, it's a great race. The thing is, the last race at the Carnival, and they're still bringing out the depth that they are today, just tells you how good a Carnival it was in Brisbane this year.
Would it be dangerous riding him a little bit closer from that inside draw, or is he happy to come back?
No, look, he can be a little bit closer for sure, and that's, I had a good talk with Blake during the week when he's in Sydney the other day, and he thought the same thing. There's no need to get as far back as we've been getting. We've been dictated to by bad draws with him lately. That better draw today should see him just a bit closer. I think he'd be probably be three pairs back, four pairs at the most, giving you a better chance of picking up those horses that are going to go quicker.
But he seems to be really in good form without winning, Pete.
Yeah, look, and he's trying his heart out too, Ronnie. He just really deserves a win today, and all beat him today would be bad luck. He looks in outstanding order, and I was kicking myself really. I didn't sort of map out a Stradbroke program with him halfway through the preparation because he was going so well. But anyway, that'll come for another day. And look, if we get a win today, it'll be, you know, it'll be a preparation we've done well in. And his horse is going to keep going forward. He's only lightly raced. He's getting better with racing. Never looked after him, so hopefully the best is yet to come with him.
What about his stablemate in race five, Smart Edge? He's not a bad race for him.
A good race for him. He's on the set weight conditions, he's really well in. 7 furlong second up's perfect. Track should suit him. Good long straight like Eagle Farm is, as long as they're running on. He's in that race with a good chance.
Sydney Leviathan. Did he surprise you at his first start? He was pretty impressive.
Not really. He's been a bit of a lad. That's why we gelded him. He's always had a horse that showed us good ability, but was very hot and cold in his work. So that's the reason we gelded him. And his work had been great. I mean, really confident the way he'd been working, but just wanted to see him put it all together on race day. And he did it perfectly the other day. He did nothing wrong and raced above his years, really. But he's trained on nicely since his work on Tuesday. He's very good on a wet track. So I'm confident he'll get through this track okay today. Reading a pretty good field. Also, Chris's field to wrap on him, and you've got to say he won quite well at Canterbury the other day. But it's always the second run is probably the one you really rate him on. Of course, you can do things first up, $2 especially, and don't break at the next start. So it'll be interesting to see how he does stand up today.
I thought so. What's the secret to this horse? Look, he's shown patches of brilliance. There's a theory that he was in the wrong part of the track the other day.
He's got me bald on top too. he's frustrated. He's got ability, but he's just such a quirky horse. But the intention for that good draw today is to be a lot closer today. That's the only thing I could think of. He just sort of mid-race, he got detached a bit from the speed. That was just made it hard to make up ground. I watched the race quite a few times. When I first looked at it, I was very, very disappointed. When I looked at it a few more times, I thought, you give him half a pass mark on it, but you want to see him do better today. He's got the ability to do it. He's got the ability to win the race, but just whether every time he steps out, he's whether his mind's on the job to thing. But look, I can't fault his work. He looks in great order, and all I can say is we'll be a bit closer today in the run.
Okay. Charatira in race five. Honest horse, back in distance should suit.
I think so. I think he is very genuine. I just think he found the mile and a hard run mile the other day sort of found him out. But back to 49, I think it'll suit him. The only thing I worry about is the wet track. The only time he ran on a wet track was at the end of his last prep last time in. He didn't go bad. He only got 2.8, but didn't feel comfortable in the going. So hopefully the track gets a bit of an upgrade today and he gets through the going. That's the only thing I think will come against him today.
Island Missile, how's he going, race seven?
Yeah, he's a bit the same. He's certainly he's a lot better on top of the ground. But you come to a point now where you've got to keep sending them around. He's one horse that's just a very gross horse that needs racing to keep him up the mark. There's a perfect race for him in 2 weeks' time, but I just got to keep him going around. I think that is the right race to come up. But he'll be competitive. His two runs have been good prior to this, and no reason why he won't run well again. But for him, the better the track, the better the chance he has of winning.
Napoleon Solo, obviously that staying prep didn't work.
didn't work, so he's had to freshen up now, and he's freshened up nicely. And a nice draw for him. He's another one, and he's sort of better on top of the ground, but the track's not racing too heavy. He's in with a good chance.
Beauty. Good luck today, Pete.
Thanks, Ronnie. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Pete. Peter Snowden going through their runners. Now, Ron, prompt response has come out on Vets out of the Sky Racing Tats Tiara. Last year's winner tried to win it again, but just come out on Vets, race 8, number 2, and that gets Baccarat Baby a start for David Van Dyke.
Well, they'll be over the moon with a start, but tragic for prompt response trying to win this race again this year, and she had been ticking along beautifully with a perfectly timed preparation, but unfortunate there.
Yeah, I think she carried a lot of weight last time and she was coming back in weight to 57. But Baccarat Baby, I guess the last couple of runs have been okay, just looking now that she's got a run.
No doubt. She's the hope of Queensland here. We all thought it might have been a little bit of a fluke there, or some of us may have thought it might have been a bit of a fluke in the Fred Best behind Military Zone. It was wide all the way. It was a ripping run against the bias, and then she backed it up with a Guineas place, getting, did run second to Colding there, and Pahuta Kara, albeit unlucky, was behind her. So there's form there.
Yeah, there is. We'll wait and see. Michael Hallier takes the ride. It'll reshape it. Prompt response, I think the last time I looked was around $13 or $14, I think. Have you written something down?
But it was something. I wrote $13 down. That would have been a Friday morning or Thursday afternoon price I wrote down.
Righto. Okay, so it comes out prompt response. It must be Saturday morning, Duff. And it must be closing in on final scratchings time, because you know what has just happened.
It's broken down, has it?
It's just HTTP error 503. This service is unavailable.
Just Google the HTTP 5003 and you get the answer.
fair dinkum. James Cummings just needs a minute, Ron, so we'll get to him in just a tick and talk about his runners. Anything else from a Brisbane? We've obviously got your full preview for Randwick coming up after 8 o'clock. What are your best at Eagle Farm?
I like race there. I think he's ready now. I'm a little bit worried after Scone, but I'm a fan of Take It Intern. Race 7, number 9, Chris Lees has got him now. He was brilliant, I thought, first up. That was back in April, and then he went to Scone, and I thought, yeah, he'd be hard to beat here. I thought he was a little bit common there, but I thought he was back on track with a aggressive ride the other day, and I think he's better on drier tracks. So now that he's had 3 runs for Chris, I think he's ready to win. So he's the horse I like the most at outside a Brave Song at Eagle Farm, and that's Take It Intern. You know, competitive race, because, you know, I'm wary of another dollar improving there, and John seems to have found a good race for Live and Free, and Duke of Valentina was going well. I just think he's fresh blood there, Take It Intern.
Righto, so currently looking at it, $3.60 before any of the scratchings and that sort of thing gets finalised this morning up there. But Take It in turn for Chris Lees and Larry Cassidy. And good luck to Larry. He did all that work on Princess Posh to get his weight down in a stratty, only to have it scratched 10 minutes before the race. And they've kept him on today in the big Group 1.
That was a bit distressing for the connections there when they disagreed with the vet's decision, so that she's always a bit scratchy. And they may be proven right, because she's been passed to run today, but with vets looking at her through the week, so hopefully they can get a little bit of revenge there.
And the speculation is rife, Ron, that we're going to learn over the next few days where Winx will go, whether it's going to be to an international stallion or to a local stallion here, we'll wait and see. But we understand that the owners of Winx have been this week at Royal Ascot. They're heading home, and we maybe get some sort of news in the next 2 or 3 days. So keep an ear on that. It's the next story around the mare. He was at Royal Ascot for a few days. James Cummings. Morning, James.
Hi, Andrew. How are you?
I'm well, mate. How was it? Because you were there for Blue Point, the big winner of the King's Stand.
There were more Aussies there than Aussie horses. But the races were very good, mate, and it was a wonderful experience to be a part of. I got the luxury of watching Blue Point's final gallop, one of his final bits of work there during the week, spending every morning of the 8 days I was at Newmarket at track work and spread around a few different trainers. I was in quite the fortunate position to see some of those good horses work, and he looked in as good condition I think Charlie has ever had him, and Charlie told me that, so he sort of helped confirm what I could see, and he won quite convincingly.
And he runs tonight, Duff, so there'll be a bit of interest tonight in that race.
Yeah, well, he said to me, Charlie, that he thought the horse was so well that when Liam O'Rourke sat in his office and went through what his entries for Royal Ascot so that he could go through it with the boss, that if the horse was there, he said the horse has an entry for the King's Dam, but he's also got an entry for the Diamond Jubilee. And Liam said, and which race do you think you'll be running him in, Charlie? And Charlie said, Well, if he hacks up in the King's Den, I might just run him in both races. And he laughed about it. And Liam looked straight over to me and said, well, you'd do it, wouldn't you, James? And I said, well, if you tell me now you're going to do it, I'll have something on him early.
No, he certainly is a good sprinter. What would he do? Would he be no thoughts of Everest, is there?
He's not, because he made an interesting point to me, Charlie, that horse is... that horse is, you know, especially now that he's gotten on in age, he gets feeling pretty well when he gets to the race, and he's not an easy horse, therefore, to have in a different environment, particularly with old bulls that travel. Getting them to settle in can sometimes be half the challenge, and he experienced that in Hong Kong, and he experienced that even in Dubai. The first time he tried to win the Al Quasi, he was raging favourite, and he got scratched at the barriers by knocking his head. And he said that being at the races for 2 to 3 hours before an event is very unusual in Europe. You know, you wouldn't do that there at Royal Ascot, for example. I know that Hootson got there, you know, something like 45 minutes before a race. Whereas, you know, in the Everest, Blue Point would have to be there 3 hours before the Everest, and at Randwick, and he just probably wouldn't cope with that environment.
Interesting how they think things right through like that. You know, it's incredible.
Well, Charlie's hands on too, and he's at the coalface, and all the trainers he's spent time with that are at that level, they know their horses very well, and they know the right questions to ask the guys that are with those horses all the time. And that's just another good example of, as you say, the way they think things right through before they make an important decision.
Well, you know your horses through and through. You've got two runners at Randwick today, and they're both first up on wet track. So El Menzora. Geez, a nice race for her.
Yeah, I think we've sort of been patient with her, and we've taken our time, and we've found the right race. I raced her quite a lot over the shorter courses last preparation, but she was on the comeback from a throat condition last time, and I had to be sure that she was going to keep hitting the line. Now that we're convinced that she's taken some of that condition from last campaign, and she can come into this one with a little bit of confidence, I'd be more comfortable running her at a solid six first up, and I think it'll really suit her.
Definitely. Race 9, Diety, another trialling well, first up wet track.
Yes, look, she's a sharp mare, and the race is relatively strong. I mean, both of our mares have found strong races, but, you know, the Diety's in good order and has trialled up well, and the boys seem pretty happy with her. Actually, yesterday, Bensley rang me and wanted to know whether I was running Al Menzora on the heavy, and I told him that I'd have to ask the boys because I've been away for a little bit how fit she was.
Mm.
They told me, James, she's 2,000% for the race.
Beautiful. That's all I want to know. Brisbane, there were these three, well, beautiful mare and fillies here, Savatiano, Multaja, Pahutakawa. You've had a good year. It'd be nice to finish off with another Group 1 win here today.
It certainly would, and I wouldn't begrudge any one of these three hitting the front and coming away with it. The reality is that, you know, we get the pleasure of racing these horses for the one owner, and his Highness Sheikh Mohammed's had a great year in Australia. It would be a wonderful way to sign off this season, but they'll have to fight hard for it. There's full field of 18, even with the scratching Did I hear right? The prompt response is out.
Yes.
Yeah.
So even with the scratching of prompt response, you know, something kills the spot, and the race is very competitive and very open. But I love the fact that our horses are on the way up. If you had have claimed that at the start of the season any one of these three would be lining up as one of the top four chances in a Group One, you might think that was a little far fetched. And so I've enjoyed bringing them along throughout the season, and to get to this level now speaks volumes of that improvement they've shown. And I think that they're not quite done with, and on account of that, they're capable any one of those three of winning.
Okay. Can I ask you one question about the three? Are you more concerned, say, with horses going up in distance here, like Savatiano, rather than Pahutakawa coming back in distance?
Yes, I am. I've raced Savatiano over the journey before, and she's acquitted herself very well. But I've always enjoyed seeing her over probably that sweet spot of 1300. I think that's just like fractionally better at that. And on account of that, I didn't want to extend her up to 7 furlongs another time before the Tiara. I needed her to be at this distance just the once, so it's to her a little like a hit and run. And I think she's I don't think we've seen the best of that there. I think she's probably got more to offer. But nevertheless, I think with the gap between runs and the way she's feeling about herself since winning the Morton Stakes, getting the perfect storm that day, having something to follow and take her to the front at the top of the straight, being really strong to the line, stepping back to that 1300 since running at Scone, I think that was perfect for her, and that sets her up beautifully for today. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. Cordia looks an improver race two.
He does, and he's going to have to improve again to be beating these horses. I mean, you look back through Discharge, and that horse is one that he couldn't get past first up, but he converted on that good effort by winning his next start in a maiden. That horse was competitive, not far away behind Prince Farwaz and Reloaded, who ran first and third in the JJ Atkins.
Mm.
And something's got to be said about the horse that won at Taree, the horse from Sydney that's come up and looked like it had about 6 lengths on them at Taree. I think is a big field.
Yeah, big parade.
Yeah, big parade. That horse will be that horse will be have to be right there. And look, it'll be an interesting, as always with these lightly raced 2-year-olds, it'll be interesting to see who's made the biggest progression.
Yeah, exactly. Duke will run another good race, and you got the two in the last, Intuition and Isaurium, who are both racing well.
Yeah, that's right. Look, Intuition and Isaurium have found a really strong sprint there with a couple of those horses that could have been competitive. I think top five chances in the Stradbroke, they're going to be pretty hard to beat today. But Duke of Valentino, I just probably look for Tim Clark to hold onto his head a little longer.
Yeah.
Even with that big weight, he made a flashing surge to the front there last time, and he probably just died on his sprint there, and I think he's conscious of that, knowing the horse a bit better this time.
Well, let's hope you can finish off what's been a terrific racing year for you as far as the group races are concerned.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Good on you, James. James Cummings joining us there from Godolphin. Let's have a look at all now the scratchings for our major meetings today. We started Randwick, where it's a heavy 8, Penno 6.01. Good chance of getting to a 7 if the showers don't get to Randwick that are off the coast at the moment. Race 1, number 4, Big Parade is out, number 4. Race 2, The Emergency, number 15, El Naitu, number 15. The 3rd, number 10, Chunero, 14, Shadow Flight, 15, Lady Evelyn, and 16, Biodynamic, 10, 14, 15, and 16. Race 4, number 6, Camdus, 8, Jorda, 10, Top Striker, and 11, Noble Joey. Race 5 is clear. Race 6, number 4, Free Hearted, 5, Alluvion, 9, Bare Naked Lady, 10, Curata Princess, 12, Graceful Storm, 14, Gala Moshe, 15, No Interest, and 16, Dolly's Due. Race 7, number 1, Curra. Race 8, 11, Iso Rich. And race 9, number 3, Tell Me. 4, Mr. Gustavo. 10, Power Command. 14, Kununga. And 16, Sedition. A couple of riders. Race 3, number 7, Reneged is Mitch Bell. 3-7, Mitch Bell. And race 9, number 18, Crackneck, is James Innes Jr. couple of riders that we needed for that program. We move to Newcastle. It's a good four, but they look likely to get showers through the day. The rail's 7.5. Race one clear. Race two, number one, Oakfield Target, and 9, Tonga Riro, 1 and 9. The third, number two, Shannon Terrier, 7, Ballad de Vega, 10, Marvelous, and 11, Tavisky, 2, 7, 10 and 11. The fourth clear, race five, number seven, The Boomerang, race six clear, and race seven, number nine, Derby's Blue Girl. To Corindai, it's fine and a good three, the rail true. The first three races are clear. Race four, Corindai, take out number 11. Race five, 4, 10, 17 and 18. And race six, take out number 7. The Flemington, they've had showers through the morning, 2.5 mil. Track is a soft 7 and the rail's at 9 metres. Race 1, number 14, Spirit Medium, number 14. Race 2, number 4, See Me Exceed, and 6, Undoubtable Miss, 4 and 6. The third is clear. Race 4, number 1, Pacadali, and 8, Azuro, 1 and 8. Race 5, number 8, Urak, and 18, Greetings Ned, 8 and 18. Races 6 and 7 are clear, and race 8, number 5, Janati, 6, Sacharo, 7, Tower Road, and 10, Titian Blinders, 5, 6, 7, and 10. To Eagle Farm, fine and a good 4, Penetrometer 4.34, they put 5 mil of water on the track last night. Race 1, 2, Epic Dan, 3, Raiden, and the emergencies, 14, 16, 17, and 18. Race 2, number 7, Namorara, and 11, A Rose for Zoo, 7 and 11. The third, number 13, Meyer Host, and the emergencies, 18, 19, 20, 21 and 22. Race 4, number 5, Ipso Nemflak, number 5. Race 5, number 3, Tantat Diamond, and 6, Tail Event, 3 and 6. Race 6, take out number 2, Exoteric. Race 7 clear. Race 8, the Tats Tiara, take out 2, Prompt Response, and the emergencies 20, 21, 22 and 23. Baccarat Baby gets a run now in the Tiara. And race 9, 12, Cradle Mountain, and 14, Device Dice, 12 and 14 out of the last there in Brisbane. And finally, Morfordville in Adelaide. They've got a fine day coming up. The track is a soft 5. The inner and the outer, both soft 5s for today. Race 1 clear. Race 2, number 1, Mr. 111 and 7, Darabad. Race 3, number 2, Terrifying. Race 4 clear. Race 5, number 4, Expansion. Race 6 clear. Race 7, 11, Going Gaga and 14, Wingard. And race 8, number 7, Touch. Peter Ellis will preview for our radio audience at 10:40 this morning. Sky Racing 1 about to leave us for American Racing. The best rest of us back in a moment to look at Randwick.
Race the best with the best. Dynamic Syndications invites you to join the people's trainer, Richard Freeman, in a magnificent colt by Scissor Kick. Arrowfield's outstanding racehorse, now exciting new sire. Our colts from Miss Backs, a dual-winning three-quarter sister to 4 stakes winners, including Accomplice and Given. Join our dynamic Richard Freeman team in this classic colt. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Hi, I'm Lionel Lee. Have you heard about the end of financial year TV drama showing at Bingley? Well, save up to $700 on LG TVs, save up to $800 on Sony TVs, and save up to $1,200 on Samsung TVs. I told you it was dramatic. Massive savings on LG, Sony and Samsung TVs just in time for the end of financial year. It's irresistible viewing, especially if you own a business. Now showing at Bingley.
Looking to celebrate Queensland racing at its most exciting? Look to the TAB Battle of the Bush Final, Eagle Farm, Saturday, with 16 local heroes racing for hometown pride, including the mighty Fabs Cowboy in Machu Picchu, Split the Atom, and the barnstorming Kakakani. There's only one place to see Queensland's Bush Champion crowned this Saturday. The TAB Battle of the Bush Final, Eagle Farm. Part of the 2019 TAB Queensland Winter Racing Cup.
Our customers love having a local shop, but I need more funds to help keep my shelves stocked.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has lent over $10 billion US dollars to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you get ahead, apply now at OnDeck.